Welcome to episode 267 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us, listener. I am your host, Ian Martin, and today we're going to be finding out about the host resort for the freestyle events for the 2026 Winter Olympics. Plus, we are going to be sharing our recommendations for the best ski gloves and ski socks for this winter. We also have more snow reports from across the Alps, plus the early results from our 2025 listener survey. Now, before we meet today's guests, I'd like to thank Tyrol Austria for sponsoring the Ski Podcast and making this winter's episodes possible. If this is your first time listening, you've already missed out on some great conversations about Tyrol. We've covered Innsbruck, Tyrol West, San Johann in Tyrol, the Ski Belt, Ski Uel areas so far, and you can catch up with all of these, and I recommend you do. It's been really interesting to find out more about the Tyrol and the Lebensgefühl, the Austrian way of life that connects them all together. Now, today, we're crossing the Alps into Italy to find out about one of the host resorts for this winter's Olympic Games. Regular listeners will recognise her voice from her snow reports, and she was last on the show as a guest in episode 256 when she was telling us about ski touring in Tromso. I am delighted to welcome back Bethany Garner. Hi, Bethany. How are you?
Hi, Ian. I'm well, thank you. You make me sound like such a jet setter. 1 minute in Norway, next minute in Italy, next minute in France, but yeah.
Tell me where you are today, then.
So I'm back home in France. I live just outside of Saint-Gervais. So yes, I'm back home after a mini trip to Italy.
We're going to be talking about that shortly. Just tell me, can you see any snow out the windows?
I can see some snow. Not at the level that I'm at, but a bit higher, yes. We've still got the snow that, you know, the big dump we had at the end of November, start of December, is still there.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, my second guest probably needs no introduction to most listeners. You may have heard him already this winter sharing his thoughts on the best skis, ski boots, helmets and goggles for this season. I am delighted to welcome back our equipment guru, Al Morgan. Hi, Al, how are you?
Morning, Ian. I am good. I am not in the Alps. I'm very, very jealous.
But I know from previous discussions you're going to be going out there soon. You will be in team, what, in a couple of weeks' time or something?
Yeah. And that I'm really excited about, so... In the process of packing in the middle. I know it seems a long way out, but I'm very excited.
Cool. Well, you know, I mentioned that you're going to team. Bethany is based in the Alps. You know, I like to start off the pod by asking when you skied or snowboarded last. So, Bethany, we're probably going to be talking about this later on, but tell us when and where it was.
Well, it wasn't in Italy, where I've just been, but the last time I skied was last Wednesday. I skied with my daughter on Flèche in Chamonix. We had some really nice snow, getting our legs ready for the season.
Nice. And how was that snow up on Flèche then?
Last Wednesday, it was really great condition. It was like the best early season snow I've had. I know since then temperatures have risen and there was some rain up quite high at the weekend. So I don't think it's quite as good. But I know, you know, it's still open, as is many of the areas around here already. So no, we're still looking good.
And you went on a Wednesday. Your daughter is school age, I think. Do they get the afternoon off to go skiing or something? Is that how that works?
Well, in, I think most of France, but definitely in the Haute-Savoie where I am, on Wednesdays, primary school children don't go to school at all.
Right, okay, that sounds fantastic. So you get to go on the local mountain. Brilliant. Al, in the green room earlier, you were telling me you were looking at the webcams in Scotland. But I don't think you've managed to make it up there yet. When were you last actually on snow then?
I'm an indoor snow dome, so it's at the snow centre at Hemel, which is not that far from me. So that's a really good opportunity just to, as Beth says, get your legs in order for the season ahead. But yeah, that hasn't been for a little while. So Scotland had a great start, eh? I mean, the weather's come in a bit, so lower down, the snow's had a bit of a hammer, but up high, they've still got snow and I can't wait to get up there this season.
Yeah, long-term listeners might remember Blair Aitken, who I've interviewed before from British backcountry skiing. He has shared some fantastic videos and photos of some of the ski touring he's been doing around in Scotland. And it looks great. Very, very tempted to get back there. And, you know, hopefully I will. You mentioned the Alps. Early conditions, the Alps are pretty good in most places. Has been a little too warm over the last week. That 0 degree isotherm has gone as high as 3,800 metres. And remember, this is December. It is not spring. So that is significantly warmer than typical. But fortunately, that late November snowfall was really good. It's likely to be another week or so before temperatures drop back to what you might call normal for this time of the year. But let's hear what it's like on the ground from some of our reporters. So regular voices you'll hear are Dave Burrows from Snow Pros Ski School. He's been out in Chivinia, Italy. Alex Amon from Tip Top Snow Coaching reports from her home resort of Les Deux-Alpes in the southern French Alps. And finally, you'll hear a new contributor, James and Sinead Hansen from Sousy Online, who sent us their report from Vialata, the Milky Way ski region in Italy.
Hi Ian, it's Dave from Snowpro Ski School. First snow report of the season, and today you find me in a lift in Pila in Italy. I'm with the best looking Snow Pros instructor that we've got, which is Stuart. Hi, how are you, Stuart?
Hey guys, thank you for the compliment.
Like, what's the snow like here in Pilar in Italy?
I can't get enough of it. It's genuinely some of the best turns you can get in Europe at the moment. Yeah. For December, I think this is one of the best starts to the season I've ever skied.
Yeah. We've had a bit of a warm snap this week, but it hasn't. It's still been freezing at altitude overnight, so it's not eaten all the snow. It's just all the low down stuff that's gone in the valleys. So it's absolutely glorious early season conditions. So there you go, Ian. That's our snow report from both Italy and Switzerland. Get yourself skiing. Best early season conditions for years and years and years across the Alps. Don't hesitate. Just book and get going. See ya. Have a good one.
Hi, this is Alex from Tip Top Ski Coaching, back at home in Les Deux-Alpes. The snow here is absolutely amazing. We've had such a big dump of snow at the end of November to open the season. We're skiing all the way back down to resort. The temperatures are quite warm in the afternoon, so spring type conditions lower down, firm in the mornings, softer in the afternoons. And above 2,600, the snow remains cold and very wintry. Conditions on the piste are absolutely brilliant this week.
Hi Ian. James and Sinead here with an update for you from Sousy Dogs. The Italian side of the Via Lattea has just enjoyed a strong opening weekend with noticeably more runs open than in previous years. This positive start is thanks to the upgraded snowmaking facilities in Sestriere, combined with a perfectly timed snowfall of around 30 centimetres just before the opening day. Being located on the southeastern side of the Alpine Ridge, we did miss out on the generous snowfalls that benefited many resorts in the northwestern Alps, and the current snow depths reflects this. Like much of the Alps, we're now in the grip of a high pressure, bringing settled weather and plenty of sunshine. Fortunately, with the sun close to its lowest angle of the year, the impact on the snow quality should be limited.
James and I have really enjoyed our first couple of ski days of the season. We started in Sousy on Saturday, where the skiing was limited, but really good. And then we headed to Bardonecchia on Monday, which offered more terrain, as well as that great Italian hospitality with some tasty on-the-slope pizzas and refreshing Aperol spritz.
For regular updates throughout the season, please check out our YouTube channel, Sousy Online, where we'll be posting a weekly snow report. Cheers, Ian.
Cheers, Ian. Bye.
Okay, let's move on to a bit of news. Firstly, can I remind you, you have just over a week to complete our 2025 listener survey. It doesn't take long. We have over £400 worth of prizes for one lucky person to win, and that includes a Terrorist backpack, Avalanche Shovel Pro, Valon Sunnies, goodies from Les Arcs. The early results have been super interesting. I can tell you that 69% of you own your own skis, 89% of you own your own boots. So no wonder our best skis and best ski boot episodes are our most listened to every winter. I'm not sharing the link to the survey anywhere apart from in the show notes, because I only want to hear from our listeners, not just people who want to win prizes. So listener, maybe just pause the podcast now, have a quick look in the show notes, complete the survey. It won't take long, and you could win a nice Christmas bonus, and your feedback will help inform what I bring you on the podcast over the next year. Talking of Christmas presents, if you follow me on social, you will know I've recently read a book called The Secret Ski Seasonaire. It is a diary of three hectic ski seasons spent in Chamonix, Tiene and Outdoors back in the early 2000s. And if you work seasons around then, especially in those resorts, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Right, let's move on to Team GB. Last week, we heard from Kirsty Muir, who won the first Ski Big Air of the season. This week, we have had another British win. Mia Brooks took first place in the Snowball Big Air, also in China. That's an excellent start to the season for the reigning Crystal Globe champion. Not a podium, but I also wanted to give Shima Mazet-Brown a heads up. He finished seventh in the Men's Snowboard Big Air, which is a career best for him. He is 19 years old. Interestingly, you can still find him listed on the New Zealand Olympic website, but he changed to Team GB over a year ago, and he could be one to watch out for at Milan Cortina in February. Now, I mentioned Milan Cortina. More accurately, it will be Livigno that we'll be paying attention to, as this is where the freestyle events are taking place. And Bethany, I wanted to have you on the show, because I know you've just been there. Do you want to just explain why you were there.
Yeah, so I've just spent 2 days out there. I've had a day in Livigno and actually half a day in Bormio, which is where we'll be the hosts for the men's alpine events. In February next year, I'm actually going to be working with Team GB, and I'll be managing the media side of things for the team in Livigno and Bormio.
That sounds very exciting. Now, I happen to know this isn't really your first rodeo. So how many Olympic Games have you been to now?
Well, including summers as well. Gosh, I really need to count. Maybe six or so. Winters, this will be number four and number three working. What first one was as a spectator.
I remember a long time ago, back in the day, I think it was Turin when you went out there as a spectator, but you've been working the last few years for Team GB in that communications role. Is that what you're doing?
Yes. So I've never worked full time with the team, but for Winter Games, yes, in Sochi, I was kind of seconded in to work for them for the Games, and that I'll be doing the same thing for Milan Cortina.
And I remember I was a volunteer at the 2012 Games in London on the triathlon, and you were doing a similar role for triathlon there?
Well, actually, at London, I was on the organising committee side. So I was managing all the media for the organising committee, not just at triathlon. I was also doing all the cycling, all the marathon, race walk, marathon swim as well. But yes, winter time, I've been with the team.
Oh, well, very exciting for you with the Games coming up. Just to clarify, I mean, I think some of our listeners probably know that the freestyle events are going to be taking place in Livigno, but what actual events are going to be taking place there then?
Okay, so in Livigno itself, you've got all the ski and snowboard freestyle events. So we've actually got two venues there. So one venue, which will be the host of Big Air, Slopestyle, Snowboard Cross and Parallel Giant Slalom, which we don't have any athletes in. And then at the other end of the Livigno Valley will be where they will host the moguls and the aerials. So you've essentially got two venues, but they're the different sports that will be happening.
It must have been fascinating going there in the lead up to the Games. I mean, they've picked Livigno because it has this reputation as being an amazing freestyle destination as well. Do they already have, you know, a super pipe, an Olympic level half pipe there?
I'm pretty sure that the pipe that they've constructed for the Games. I might be wrong on that. Where all the Big Air, the pipe and the Slopestyle is on the Mottolino side. And that's the side that's really kind of embraced freestyle. And that's where I know back in the day, the GB Snow Sports had their big airbag for training. So that it is the kind of freestyle mecca. What they have got now is like at the base of Mottolino, which obviously needs to work for spectators for a big event like the Olympics, they're actually constructed, it's a man-made Big Air. So like the one we've seen kind of last couple of weeks in China. So it's a big structure that we could see was almost nearly finished. But then on the actual snow bit, that's where you'll have the pipe, the Slopestyle and the parallel giant slalom.
Oh, and I think the people who watched the last Winter Olympics in Beijing will remember the Big Air, which stood out primarily for looking like it was in an industrial estate. I imagine there are going to be better views and this Big Air will be a bit more scenic.
That's exactly what I thought. Honestly, it's such a beautiful valley. And the thing with Livigno, it's situated at 1,800 metres. So it feels like the winter, it feels like snow. You've got the most amazing backdrop. So even though the Big Air structure is a man-made structure like you see in some of the city events, it's surrounded by amazing mountains. I think from a spectator's point of view, whether you're there or you're watching on the telly, it's going to look pretty special.
Oh, and you skied around the place as well. What is the resort like? I mean, you mentioned it's high at 18 or just over 1,800 metres. But who would you say the resort is kind of suitable for in general?
Really interesting. I've been to Livigno once, but a long time ago. So this is the first time for a long, long time. I don't know. I had one thing in my head, but I thought it was great. So it's high altitude. OK, it takes quite a long time to get to from Milan, which is where we flew into. But it's in its kind of own little special valley. What is it good for? So lots of wide open runs, a really great kind of flat plateau for cross-country skiing. And we also visited a facility there, which is called Acqua Grande, which is basically a leisure facility. So it's got amazing 50-metre pool, amazing wellness. So it felt like a sporty resort to me. It felt like someone who wants to do a bit of everything would be really well looked after there. You know, there was lots of people out skiing. It felt like a kind of a busy ski resort already.
I guess listener You should probably be mindful of the fact we're talking about Livigno being the base for the most of the freestyle events. You know, Bethany mentioned that she went over to Bormio as well. That's where the men's alpine events are going to be taking place. So that'll be relevant to us when Dave Riding, Billy Major, Laurie Taylor, possibly a Carrick Smith, who knows, will be taking part in the slalom over there. And then the women's alpine events are actually in Cortina itself, I think.
That's exactly right, yeah. So there's essentially the Winter Games is going to be split into three clusters. It sounds a bit corporate, but you've got the skating, hockey, ice skating, etc. in Milan itself. Then you've got Cortina, which will be the base on women's alpine and also curling. And then Livigno and Bormio, which is only about an hour away, which is going to be men's alpine, and then all the freestyle. So Livigno is that kind of, it's the cool hub.
Sure. Well, we'll definitely be following it. I'm currently working out what my plans are going to be for podcasting during the Olympic Games. Currently looking at the idea of producing some mini episodes during the Games so we can really feature, cover some of the British athletes and what's going on. Because, you know, we're really probably looking at, what, four key athletes who stand a really good chance of getting medals. I would say Zoe Atkin, ski halfpipe, Kirsty Muir, ski big air and slopestyle. Mia Brooks, snowboard big air and slopestyle, and Charlotte Banks in the snowball cross, all of our best chances. So, you know, there's some other possibilities of podiums, etc. as well. But, you know, those are the four that we're probably really going to be focusing on. So, listener, I will be announcing that in due course once I've worked out what it is. So not all of us are going to be like Bethany and be able to go out there. As far as watching it is concerned, you got any tips or advice on that, Bethany?
Well, I've got to say, like, now I'm kind of in the zone. I've been there and thinking about it. And I just think this is the time when Britain, well, in Britain, snow sports can shine. You know, we're going to be able to watch it on BBC. We're going to be able to watch it on Warner Brothers Discovery. So, yes, a paid-for channel. But, you know, it's the exciting time. And I think it's the time where we're going to bring new people into snow sports. And fingers crossed, you know, we have some success. But I just feel like some people aren't kind of thinking Winter Olympics, it's not on their radar, but I just wanted to tell everybody that this is the winter and we're going to get more people into our sport, and it's mega exciting.
Sure. I mean, I think probably most listeners to the podcast are, and I can tell from the results of the survey, you know, very committed skiers already, but we're looking at expanding that. We're looking at increasing the reach. When Jenny Jones famously won her medal in Sochi, there was a queue around the block when she went to sign autographs at Hemel Hempstead. And I would love to see something similar going on with one, two, three, four medals. I don't know how greedy we want to get, but it would be fantastic after all the challenges of Beijing. And listener, I can recommend that you listen to my interview with Vicky Gosling, CEO of GB Snowsport, to get more of an insight into the challenges that the athletes face there. And when are you going to be going out there, Bethany?
I'll be going out right at the end of January, the same time that the Big Air snowboarders arrive for their training ahead of competition there. Snowboard Big Air is the first event on the schedule from the Livigno side. So, yeah, I'm going to be out there for about 3.5 weeks in total. So Livigno will be my new home. I'll be able to tell you all about it afterwards.
Cool. Well, I look forward to hearing about that. I've got all those dates in my diary. I noticed some of them in the evenings as well. So they're really going to hit peak viewing. I think the final, for example, the Snowboard Big Air is between 7 and 9 p.m. We'll be able to settle down in our armchair and hopefully see Mia Brooks, let's say, win a medal.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed. I think all the big air and the half pipes are evening finals. So, yeah, peak viewing time. Very exciting.
Cool. Okay, that's brilliant, Bethany. Thanks so much for that. I'm going to turn to Al now, if that's okay. Now, regular listeners will know that Al and I have already covered the best skis, best ski boots and best helmets and goggles for this winter. I'm going to put links to those in the show notes. Today, we're going to turn our thoughts to keeping your hands and feet warm, because our focus is on the best ski gloves and socks for this winter. Al, if it's okay, can we start with gloves? One bit of advice before we look at our recommendations. What should people be looking for when they try gloves on?
Yeah, good question. People often think that go really thick is going to be warm, but the problem that we've got when we're skiing is you need to be able to hold a ski pole. So if someone's really bulky, how efficiently can you hold a ski pole? Do your ski buckles, use zippers, all of that kind of thing. And actually, modern materials, synthetic and natural fibers that are used in gloves can be really, really warm without being really bulky. And one of the gloves in particular, a ladies' glove, we're going to talk about kind of epitomizes that, I suppose. Fitting is good, and you want it so that you can easily, as I say, do zippers, do buckles, etc. But if it is too snug when you grip around a pole, go and hold a pole in a shop because you don't want it squashing the end of your fingers. That is not going to help you stay warm.
I did tell my daughter was trying on gloves when we were at the London Snow Show, and I told her, you know, that advice that you've given us before, you know, make sure you grip a pole and see. But if you've got a new pair of gloves and there's quite a lot of leather on there, they can be quite inflexible. They need a bit of sort of, you know, warming up, don't they?
Yeah, it can take a while to break in. You know, think of a really good quality, possibly expensive pair of shoes. It might be quite stiff, and then you break it in, it lasts you so long, almost forever, if you keep getting them resold. And that's the beauty in leather. It's mega durable. You can use things. So Nick Wax, for example, makes different products that you can put on. They do a cream for shoes, which is what I actually use on gloves. It enhances the grip. It keeps that leather really kind of moist, supple, and stops it getting more damage.
Oh, and you know, ideally, obviously, you're going to try your gloves on before you buy them. But would you ever buy online, let's say unseen?
Let's be realistic. People do. I'd always say with all of this stuff, this is technical stuff. You're going into a high altitude, cold environment. You want to make sure it's going to work really well for you. But the modern world, people order online. As usual, make sure you give yourself enough time so that if it doesn't work for you, you can get it change to a better size fit wise so they tend to come in small, medium, large. But gloves have a specific sizing. Typically it will go, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 or 8.5, 9, 9.5, etc. And that is just the measurement in inches around your hand. So measure around the knuckles all the way around the circumference of your hand there. So I measure 8 inches and I typically use a size 8 or an 8.5 glove, depending on the brand.
Actually, for my daughter, we didn't buy gloves at the ski show in the end. We did buy them online, bought them off the Salomon website, and had an extremely detailed size guide with not just that diameter around the middle of your hand, but all sorts of measurements on there. So we were pretty confident that we got the right size. Of course, you know, these days you can always return it, get it swapped around anyway. We have gone into a lot more detail about all the different elements of the technical side of things of gloves before, and I'll put a link to that to last year's episode. But most listeners will know that gloves tend to be regular glove, let's say with 5 fingers or 4 fingers and 1 thumb. You can get a mitten, but there's also something called a lobster claw. And I impressed my family when I told them, you know, why that exists and about blood flow to your fingers, but maybe you could explain the difference and why that exists.
Yeah, so mitt, all 4 fingers are in a little pocket like a sleeping bag together, nice and warm. You can have separators between the fingers in there, but that keeps them all warm. Your thumb has its own kind of unique blood supply, but the beauty is the thumb and index finger share a bit of that blood supply, whereas the other three, the middle ring and little finger, don't get that benefit, so they can get colder. So with a, I'm going to hold up one of the gloves I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to do it so you can't see the brand. So you can see that you've got a pocket for your thumb, a pocket for your index finger, and then that little sleeping bag compartment for the other three to keep them warmer. And then you get the benefit of dexterity, of being able to grip things, do more dexterity, really, when you need to be able to, that can be a bit more fiddly than you can do with a mitt.
I'm going to screen grab that and put a photo of it in the show notes so people can see exactly what we're talking about. But okay, let's move on to your choices. Let's do them in reverse order with the kind of top, middle and lower price points. So if you really want to go to town, what's your number one choice for this winter?
It's not cheap, is it? It's £180. Okay, so this brand is not a new brand, but they are having a bit of a push into the UK. Essentially, you can think of them as new into the UK. It is Canada's biggest snow sports accessory brand. They do head-to-toe stuff. Combi Canada, they do gloves. And so this is their Tactical Gore-Tex Leather Glove, £180. You mentioned about leather being stiff. This has to be one of the softest, most supple leather gloves I've ever used, especially from you. And it's mega reinforced. You've got reinforcement across the palm and the thumb. Back of the hands has loads of padding on it, back of the fingers. But it's one of their warmest gloves. So like we spoke about, you get that fantastic insulation. It's not as padded over the palmer side, so you can still feel what you're doing with your hand, grip your pole well. And then if you are going to be hooning about the piece, getting knuckle draggingly low, having that padding across the back of the hand is really nice. But just super comfortable, waterproof lining. It's a Gore-Tex glove, but really easy to slip in and out. Velcro closure around the wrist. oddity in that the little finger's really long. That's the one bit I don't understand about this glove, but otherwise it's absolutely sensational.
Great question there. You said hooning around the piece with your knuckles low. I'm just visualizing someone doing ultimate angulation there, where you're just like skimming across the piece. Is that what you're visualizing there?
Yeah, it's not me. I am not that skier, but I know people that do ski like that and wear race gloves because they're padded on the back. This does it. It's not there for racing. It's not for bashing gates. But actually, you know, if you take a tumble or whatever, then that just gives you that extra bit of protection. It feels sensational on that glove.
Oh, and you said, it's very warm. What's the insulation? Because there are different types of insulation for these sort of things, aren't there?
They use, like many, many gloves, they use PrimaLoft in it, and they've got grip control in the inside. So essentially, just the way that the layers are laminated, bonded together, you get that excellent sensitivity, that excellent suppleness and feel. But yeah, PrimaLoft does a whole range of different insulation. It's not only in this glove, but it is brilliant.
Oh, okay. So that £180 is pretty expensive, although keeping your hands warm is pretty important. But, you know, something around the more, let's say, mid-level, what would you pick out for that?
So Level make a whole range of gloves. They do a beautifully feminine glove called the Iris. Lots of female skiers will just be in a unisex or a men's glove, but some people want that look, that feel. It's got a really slim undercuff design. You can get it in a couple of different black designs and a black and white. But when I was mentioning earlier that you don't need a really thick glove to be warm, the Level Iris is a really good example of that. You still get that fantastic feel of leather. It's use their Member Thin Plus membrane to stop you getting wet in there, but it just looks super chic. Again, got PrimaLoft. Slim design, but surprisingly warm. And then if you want something for those bitter cold conditions, they do a mitt version, and the mitt and glove are both £110.
Oh, okay, that sounds excellent value for money. I don't know, interesting to hear you say that has a kind of feminine outline. I don't know if you're allowed to say that in these woke days, are you?
It just looks really chic. It's a beautiful looking glove. So if you want that style, you know, a lot of people love skiing for that James Bond era. Some people want to go out and show off a bit of feminine flair. This glove, it looks beautiful.
Oh, well, I'm going to be putting photos and links to all of these products in the show notes. So, listener, you can have a look and decide for yourself. Right. You need to get a glove. Maybe you don't have that kind of budget. What are you going to go for?
Yeah. Okay. This really threw me, this glove, when I first got this to test. So it's by Dare to Be. It's called the Index Finger. And it is one of those lobster claw, those three-finger gloves. You put this on and you're like, oh, it feels so expensive. You've got separate pockets inside the little compartment for your three smaller fingers. It doesn't have leather, and that makes it a great option if you want to avoid animal-derived products. Padding across the back of the hand, it uses their Arid 30K, 30K waterproof breathable membrane, so you get fantastic weather protection, really well insulated, a good amount of warmth. Full retail is £70. I looked on the site earlier, it's £35 at the minute. It only comes in black, but it does come with a removable leash. You get all the features that you want of more expensive gloves. Velcro opening on the cuff, super slim undercuff. It looks amazing. If you want other colors, they do a glove called the Free Ride, which doesn't have the Velcro and is a glove, but basically it's the same offering. Mega warm. Yeah, sensational.
Okay, we're recording today on Thursday, 11 December. You said it's on sale at half price at the moment.
Yeah.
Don't suppose you happen to know when that's expiring, that sale?
I do not know.
This should just get in there as quickly as possible.
It threw me when I saw it, because I was, if you're going to get something this good for £35, you know, they don't skimp on features. It's got that comfort wipe, snot wipe, let's face it, on the back of the thumb for those mountain dribbles that you invariably get. It's amazing. It really, really, really caught me off guard when, and you know, reinforced it in the key areas. Super cool. Yeah, the Dare to Be glove, and it's called the Index Indicator glove, or the Indicator Index, actually waterproof ski glove.
Okay, well, that's brilliant, Al. So that's your hands taken care of. Let's have a think about your feet then. What are your picks for socks for this winter? Maybe let's start off with the top of the range items.
Yeah. So we had quite a spread of prices with gloves. Not so with socks, because they don't want to be mega expensive, but there's a lot of technicality in a ski sock. So the first one sits at £40. It's by a brand called Cedas, and Cedas does a whole load of technical products around boot fitting, you know, footbeds, boot liners, etc. Many people, when they're skiing, complain of boot discomfort, and one of the areas that people suffer with is their shins. This sock's mad. It's got this kind of foam padding down the front of the shin. It's called the Ski Protect V2. It's £40. I love Cedas socks because lots of ski socks can be really long, come up over your knee. I don't really like them being that long. This is a bit shorter. It's, you still get a merino wool mix. It's got 34% merino wool, so really comfortable. You don't get that stink if you use it for a few days when you're skiing. So, and that's the beauty in a good quality ski sock. You don't have to buy a pair for each day. It's that padding down the shin that is a total saving grace for anybody that gets that discomfort.
Is that going to suit people who have, let's say, particular shins? Because when I went down into Pro Feet one time to have some boot fitting, I was told I have concave shins. So maybe that kind of foam padding would benefit me.
I'm trying to get my head around how a concave shin works. It seems counterintuitive, but I think I know what they mean. It's a low density foam, so it molds around your shin really, really nicely. Now, the only thing that I would kind of say, if you have a boot that is mega snug around your shin and calf, this is going to take up space in that boot. So if you get discomfort, if you in that area, this is really, really going to help you. But if you have a super, super tight boot, you may not be able to fit this sock and that padding in there. But then you go for a normal ski sock that just has a bit of loop pile down the front.
So that's £40, you know, yeah. Great pair of socks. What about something more mid-range?
Yeah, so this kind of hit my radar late on. I didn't find out about it when I was doing most sock tests last winter. So this is from Darn Tough, and they've redesigned it for this winter. It's got merino wool in it. It's super warm. It's beautifully soft. It's a bit like they've looked at the other socks on the market, picked all the best bits, so padding around the ankle bones, you know, on the shin, not making it too thick, and it is just beautiful. Now, the one thing that frustrates me about it, this edge over the calf mid-weight, is Darn Tough makes socks in amazing, beautiful patterns, and they don't do that with this sock, which is a bit of a shame. But it comes in men's and women's versions. You can buy it from UK retailers at the minute. It is now in stock. And just the comfort, fit, and padding you get in all those key areas is beautiful. And it's £37, so it's a bit less than the Cedas.
Okay, I'd actually never heard of a Darn Tough until you mentioned it during the presentation that we gave at the London Snow Show, when we were, you know, giving a bit of advice on, you know, what to choose and different products that stood out. So is it new to the British market, Darn Tough?
They've been around for a few seasons. So I've been testing their socks for 3 winters, and some of my favourite socks are Darn Tough. This new one super impressed me. I love it. There's a smart wool sock that I absolutely adore, and this kind of sits in that same space, that midweight, super comfy. But yeah, they've just been having a bit of a push, and they've been growing in popularity, and rightly so. Brilliant products, lifetime guarantee.
That's quite an investment, you know, £37, £40, yeah. If you just want to get a pair of socks. What about, you know, something more affordable, let's say?
Yeah, so this is a big brand, so you expect it's going to be super expensive, but it's £27, so it's quite a drop from the other socks, but mega, mega technical. So there's a snow sport athlete, and people may know him from climbing, doing free solo with Alex Honnold, all of those kind of things. So Jimmy Chin, and this is a collab sock with him. So it's from Stance, and it's called the Men's Slopes. The naming and the products with Stance can be slightly confusing because each pattern design has a different name. So they do a massive array of socks. But this, I love the way that they do the rib padding down the front and around the foot. They have their infinite kind of knit toe and heel, so it's really, really durable. And I love it because I can shove it in my snowboard. I don't snowboard very much anymore, but this is a fantastic crossover sock. And it's a lot cheaper than the others. Again, you've got merino in there, 27% merino wool mix. Super soft. I love it.
There's so many things you said there really interesting to me. Firstly, I picked out Stance socks when we were at the ski show, when we were doing our presentation. I've been using them for the last couple of years. The ones I have are very thin. They suit me well because my boots, I mentioned I've been to Pro Feet, they're very well fitted. You know, my feet definitely don't swim around in them. I much prefer that kind of a setup. The other thing is, you mentioned Jimmy Chin there. I don't know if listeners will have come across him, but he's quite a famous cinematographer, photographer, videographer. And yesterday I literally edited an episode with Kit Delaurier, who is the first person to ski the seven summits. And Jimmy Chin was with her when she did her descent of Everest. And I think he was also filming on that recent descent of Everest, which was oxygen-free. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. So that's really interesting, all of those side of things. And then you mentioned the designs of Stance as well. They've got all sorts of different designs.
So
there's
cool.
One, the Wu-Tang one was the one I picked out before, which, you know, my son loves. I think, you know, if you want to maybe make a bit of a statement in your chalet, you've got some options there.
Yeah.
I've just got a question for you, Al. I know I get asked this a lot. What's your opinion on heated socks and heated gloves?
Yeah, it's a good shout. They're expensive. That's the easy way. They are absolutely brilliant, though. If you suffer with cold in the mountains, they are fantastic. So last time I was skiing close to where you live, up on the Mer de Glace, I was skiing with Stian Hagen, not just name dropping, but the reason why I'm doing that, you know, big professional skier, super cool guy, but he was in heated socks. And that's the first time I came across a professional skier who used them. And he was in a thermic sock. He uses them because he doesn't want to get cold damage. He's in the mountains a lot, very high altitude where it can be bitterly cold. And the socks actually aren't that expensive, about £90-100 for a pair of socks. It's the battery tech that costs the money. And where by the time you add the battery in, then you're looking at about £300 for a set. And it's the same for gloves. And I test heated socks and gloves, and they're a brilliant solution. What I actually use a lot is a heating element on my insoles in my ski boots. And then I have the battery pack on the power strap. So that's another good way to do it. But it's the battery tech that's expensive.
Cool. That's really interesting. It was a question I was going to ask you as well, because no, you hadn't included any heated gloves or socks in there. We have covered them before last year. So I'll put a link in the show notes so that people can find out more about them if they want to. That's brilliant, Al. Thank you so much for that. Really, really interesting. And hopefully, listener, that will have informed possibly some last-minute Christmas present purchases for the skier or snowboarder in your family. We're going to come towards a close now. Listener, if you've enjoyed this episode, or even if you didn't like it, I would like to know. You can leave a comment on Spotify, Instagram, or Facebook. Our handle is @skipodcast, or drop me an email @skipodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on WhatsApp for exclusive material released ahead of each podcast. Look in the show notes for that link. I have a couple of bits of feedback since the last episode. Henry Smith said, "Thank you for your dedication to bring us forward every week. It's much appreciated. As a resident in the Canary Islands, we normally ski in Andorra or the Northern Spanish resorts. Is there any chance you can get someone from the area to add to your snow report section?" Well, that is a very good point, Henry. If you look in the back catalogue, you'll see we've covered Bakira Barret last year. We've also featured a lot of French Pyrenees resorts, but we do need more Andorra. So, listener, if you are in Andorra and you would like to send us your snow report, please get in contact. Judy Matthews bought me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/the ski podcast. Very kind of you, Judy. Thank you. She said, "Thank you for this wonderful podcast. Absolutely love it. Hope to get to meet you one day on or off the slopes." Rachel Matthews, she enjoyed episode 266. She said, "I love the interview with Christian. If you remember, we discussed his love of Gulmarg in India. I enjoyed his approach to creating ski experiences in Gulmarg, rooted in a sense of place. That mixture of extreme altitude, but not yet hugely developed, makes it sound intriguing." And I agree with you, Rachel. I'd really love to get out there. And Colin Tierney enjoyed episode 264 when we covered the best helmets and goggles and said it was great to hear Al again. So, Colin, this episode should keep you happy too. There are now 285 episodes of the Ski Podcast to catch up with. And when I looked this morning, the stats say 142 of those were listened to in the last week. So if you would like to get some insight on a particular destination or the latest kit, just go to theskipodcast.com, have a search around the tags and categories, and you're bound to find something of interest to listen to. And I can tell you, in the last week, around 50% of our listeners were in the UK, 20% in the States, and everyone else spread as far and wide as Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and Morocco. If you would like to help the Ski Podcast, there are three things you can do. You can follow us or subscribe. So just pause now, subscribe, never miss an episode. You can give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Haven't had one of those for ages. We'd love to have another. Or leave a comment on Spotify. And if you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget you can get an additional discount if you use the code SKIPODCAST at insportrent.com, or simply take the link in the show notes and your discount will be automatically applied. Right. I would like to thank my guest today, Bethany. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ian. Speak to you soon.
Oh, have a fantastic time out in Italy during the Olympics. And Al, thank you very much.
Ian, as always, it's been fun and thank you.
Oh, and enjoy teen. I'd like to thank Tyrol for sponsoring the podcast. And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.